I hereby introduce to you, Mr. Michael Veazey.
Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. I'm delighted today to welcome to the show Nathan Hirsch of FreeUp.com, which is all about outsourcing, which if you are running around and there aren't enough hours in the day to run your business and your life, and I certainly am one of those people, this is a sorely needed interview. So Nathan, very warm welcome to the show.
Michael, thanks for having me.
So the first question, Nathan, is the obvious one, but which is always important to know, is to tell us a bit about yourself. Give us this sort of 2-minute potted history of how you came to be doing all this.
Yeah, so I was a broke college student looking for extra beer money, and I started buying and selling textbooks because I got annoyed that the bookstore was ripping everyone off. You were buying textbooks for hundreds of dollars, selling them for pennies of the dollar at the end of the semester, and I really wanted to cut them off. So before I knew it, I lined out the door of people selling me their textbooks. I would buy them up front. I would sell them at the beginning of the next semester, and that led me to Amazon because you don't sell books for very long without learning about Amazon. And I became addicted to Amazon, and I wanted to do something besides books because they were heavy to carry, and I knew it wasn't a long-term thing. I actually thought that they would be outdated by now, and people would be on tablets, which hasn't exactly happened. But I wanted a better way. So I came up with the dropshipping model before I knew what dropshipping really was, of working with different vendors, suppliers, selling products they didn't have, having the product ship from there to the customer, and making the difference. And before I knew it, I was running a $1 million business out of my college dorm room. I was hiring my friends, making some really good business decisions, some bad ones as well, learning as every young entrepreneur does. And when I graduated and I started doing my Amazon business full time and the business was growing and doing really well, I quickly realized that I was spending 50%+ of my time on HR, just posting jobs and going through applicants and multiple rounds of interviews and then turnover and starting all over again. So I really wanted a better way. And I had been using Upwork. A friend of mine had told me about it. And I had this awesome remote team. I called them my Odesk army. But I really wanted a better, more efficient way. So I created FreeUp to be different than all the rest, because instead of being a job board where you go in and you post a job and you get a lot of applicants, with FreeUp, we get hundreds of applicants every week. We do all the vetting for you. As a client, instead of posting a job and getting a lot of applicants and getting thrown at by a lot of different directions, you just submit a request and you get introduced to one worker that we've already pre-vetted. We only let the top 1% into our network. I mean, it's really that experience of being able to hire top talent quickly, which is so important as a business owner.
Wow. Okay. So that's a pretty comprehensive and to the point answer. I like it already. So let's just back up a little bit. So obviously what interests me is that you started drop shipping books, as effectively all Amazon did when they very first started. They had a basement without any tables, even if I understand from the Everything Store, the book about Jeff Bezos. And they basically were a drop shipping site for books. So you started in the same way Jeff Bezos did, which is a good sign for success. But so let's back up a bit. So a lot of people listening to the show will be, like yourself, very busy entrepreneurs with a huge thing that they're you know, huge project they're trying to grow as fast as possible. A lot of people are just equally be at the opposite end of the scale and just starting out. So let's start off with the first sort of questions, the dumb newbie questions, which I think are always the best ones for me, because I'm quite good at asking dumb questions, because I often am quite dumb with these things. I'm recognizing that I'm good at talking and everything else I need to learn from other people, which is why I have people like yourself on. First question then is, when to start with outsourcing? Is it something you only do when you've got a big business turning over tens of thousands of dollars or hundreds of thousands of dollars a month? Or is that something that we should do earlier?
Yeah, so I start pretty early. I wait until I have some kind of revenue stream. If I'm still in the idea phase, I don't hire. But when I started FreeUp, it was slowly growing. I bootstrapped both businesses. I actually wrote a book on bootstrapping. But part of the concept of it is, once you start making a little bit of revenue, is you need to invest it back in the company. And the best way to invest it back in the company is with good people, whether it's taking something off your plate or hiring an expert. And those are really the two ways to go about it. If you have these tasks that you're doing over and over again, and you have the systems and processes in place, and your time just isn't focused on the right thing because you're doing these processes instead of focusing on expanding the company, then you should hire lower level workers and put them in place to free up your time. If you are approaching something that you might not know how to do, maybe it's time for you to start marketing or you need a video done, then you hire those mid-level or expert level workers so that you don't have to train. Yes, they're more expensive, but there's an opportunity cost if you learned how to do it yourself. That usually isn't worth it as a business owner. So the other approach is going out and hiring those people to come in to audit your business or to do those one-time projects or ongoing projects to really do things that you can't possibly do.
Okay, excellent. So that's a nice clear division between hiring somebody to do something that you effectively know how to do already, but it's repetitive, or hiring somebody in to do something you don't know how to do and it's not worth your time to learn it. Is that a clean sort of decision between those two things?
Exactly. And the best business owners do a hybrid of both. They know when a project comes up and they need outside help and they want someone to bring their own experience and talent to the table. And they know when they've been doing the same task for a month and they're like, all right, I don't want to do this anymore. Let's get someone else to do it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, one of the things I've experienced is, I'm not a natural entrepreneur in many ways. I wasn't one of those people that built a business in his dorm room in college as you did. So, hats off to you for that. I mean, I got started decades later. And I think a lot of us are way too obsessed with trying to find the cheapest way to do stuff. And we're very afraid of spending money. And really, we're not taking the opportunity cost anything like seriously enough. And I'm still guilty of that. I found myself doing something this morning, which I'll ask you about later as an example of, we can work through it as an example of how to do some outsourcing. But yeah, one of those things that you find yourself doing stuff that really somebody for $3, $4, $5 in the right part of the world could be doing. And actually, if that's all you're valuing your time at, then you have bigger problems than could be solved by an Amazon business, right?
I agree. And cheap becomes expensive, right? I have lots of clients who they'll go out and they'll find someone who's charging $4 and they'll be like, oh no, I only want to pay you $2. And maybe that person needs a job right there and they take it and they get the training and they do it for a few months. And then that person gets a job offer of $4 or $5 and they're out the door. And all the time you just spent training them is out the door as well. And like you said, if you value your time, that's a huge waste of money. And you would have been better off just paying that $4 an hour. So a lot of times people are scared of not only that, but that trial and error approach. I kind of go into a business knowing that I'm going to put money into a lot of different things, and some of them aren't going to work out, and some of them are going to be very successful. But if I have a very small budget and I'm afraid to put any money into anything, there's no way I'm going to succeed. I'm not going to move forward. So I'm trying different things. I'm hiring different people. Don't get me wrong. I'm very quick to fire people and replace them if they're not doing a good job. But I always want to try to get different talent into my team and see what sticks and what goes well. Even if I lose a little bit of money on certain things that don't work.
That's an excellent reminder to people who are new-ish to business, if they're sort of fairly new to the Amazon private label selling model, to remember that contrary to all those courses out there that promise you the earth in return for doing nothing, that not everything you try, not every product you try is going to be a winner. And you've just got to spread your risk and, go follow up hard on the things that work and cut the losses, as you say. So that's always good advice. Now, let's cut down to a little bit more. So one question we're batting around, but we're not putting a figure on. And it's kind of a how long is a piece of string question, but I've got to ask it really. How do you weigh up the opportunity cost of, doing stuff yourself and not expanding your business versus spending money on outsourcers? Let's say, for example, let's take a concrete example. Somebody is fairly typical for a lot of people starting off in Amazon. They've got about 20 hours a week in the evenings, weekends, or early mornings to work on the Amazon business. They've got about $5,000 to spend on inventory plus advertising on Amazon plus any outsources. And they haven't got any particular business background, but they've got some training online that they've had either free or paid, and they're getting started with their first products about to go live. What would you say to a person then? Is that too early to outsource, or what is the best use of their time, money, resources?
Yeah. So the first 6 months to a year that I'm running a business, I'm doing the majority of the work. I'm putting my own hours in. One thing that people don't think of is that you can hire someone, and we do this for clients all the time. You can hire an expert to do a 1 to 2 hour audit, to be an on-call consultant that maybe you're paying them $40 to $50 an hour, but it's worth it because if you start going off in the wrong direction, you're going to waste thousands of dollars more and they can kind of keep you on track. So for me at the early stages, if I have small projects that come up, I'll insert a worker there for one-time stuff. I'll hire a consultant or an expert to make sure I'm going on the right track or to answer my questions, or you can even get a mentor to do it if you have one. It won't necessarily cost you money. And then as I start making more and more money, then I start inserting an assistant part-time and then full-time and then my second assistant. And that's really how I go about it. It's not like in month one, I'm going out and hiring 10 different workers.
Interesting way of looking at it. Actually, I think that chimes in with a lot of my experience. So as I do a certain amount of mentoring, although I'm wrapping up doing one-to-one work because it's too time intensive and time away from my Amazon business. But yeah, I think the best work I've ever done for somebody is when somebody pays me. I mean, it's a bit more than $50 an hour. I think it's $120 an hour, but whatever it is, and they come to me with a business plan. I just look at it, and because I've done it enough times, I can go, please don't do this. You're going to lose a ton of money. And that just saves them months of wasted time and a ton of wasted cash. And yeah, so I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, on their end, it's so worth it. I mean, the $125 compared to the thousands they would lose, like you said, it's a no-brainer as a business owner. Unless you know what you're doing or you're someone that can research, and there are people out there that can research, and do a great job. My business partner, Connor, is one of those people. But you really need to get a mentor. You really need to get a consultant on board before you just throw a bunch of money at the wall and hope that something sticks.
Yeah, I think the thing is that you've got to be willing to throw stuff against the wall. But on the other hand, why not learn from other people's mistakes? It's a lot cheaper and easier, right? So let's talk then. So you've talked about the sort of new person and the first person to hire as an outside expert, maybe in your particular sort of business model, which makes total sense to me. I've done it in the past. It's helped me move forward a hell of a lot quicker. And then you start with outsourcing to system one, system two. Let's say then you've got a person who is turning over, let's say that they're doing a few tens of thousands of dollars a month with say 2 to 5 to 10 products on Amazon or something like that. What would you say to that person if they're doing a lot of their stuff themselves? What is the sort of next step? Should you be looking to create a fully fledged standard operating procedure, your famous SOPs? Do you need to be very, very systematic, or should you just start and go as you go along? Or what's the right approach with that balance?
Yeah. So what I like to tell people to do is to create a list of everything you do on a day-to-day or week-to-week basis and put it in order from easiest to hardest. And usually if you're running an Amazon business, the easiest stuff is like the customer service emails. If you're doing FBA, there might not be even that many. There's other stuff like bookkeeping and QuickBooks and even creating listings or doing keyword research and kind of going up the list and starting to take stuff off. A lot of times what you'll find, and I'm actually running into this on my Amazon business now because I'm kind of using FreeUp to now help my Amazon business because I have access to all these great workers, I'll find a worker for $7 an hour and I'm hiring them to do lower level listing on my Amazon store, but they also have 5 years of experience and they're bringing things that they've learned in other places to the table to help me. And I don't even need a standard operating procedure. Whereas 4 years ago, I wouldn't let anyone touch a listing unless they were following my exact stuff. So it also depends on what kind of talent you're hiring. If you're going for the cheapest of the cheap and you're hiring those $2 to $3 an hour workers that maybe don't have experience, then yes, you need those SOPs. Don't let them into your account and just start doing whatever they want. But if you hire someone with years of experience and you have a good conversation with them, it might be worth letting them go off on their own a little bit and kind of see how that goes, because you can hire 4 different workers to optimize different listings and have different results depending on the time of the year, the products, the systems. There's so many factors. So it kind of goes back into what we were talking about before, the trial and error approach. There's no one way to outsource. There's no one way to hire remote workers. The key is to be strategic about it, to minimize risk, and to give yourself opportunities to succeed when something does work out.
That's a really, really, that's so exactly what I keep saying to people. I run a mastermind in London for people, and that's just, I keep banging on about the risk reward ratio. Is we've got to think like an investor, but yeah, exactly, minimizing risk, maximizing the possibility that if it goes well, that it takes off. I could not agree more. I'm so glad to hear you say that. It's becoming a mantra with me. Now, coming back to that thing you were talking about, SOPs, very, very interesting distinction. An awful lot of people traditionally follow I suppose it goes back to the E-Myth, you know, that book is from the 90s, but still very influential thinking, that you basically think like McDonald's and you make a system that's bulletproof and can be operated by idiots. But on the other hand, as you say, if you hire a smart person, you don't need to go through all that hassle of detailing things in just mind-blowing detail. And my experience is that often if I hire somebody who's even semi-technically literate in a lot of areas, they just know better than me within about 20 minutes of something. And I just let them get on with it. So I like that approach very, very much.
And don't get me wrong, SOPs are very important. The problem with creating SOPs at the early stages of the company is they change so much. If I started creating SOPs in month 6 of FreeUp and I spent hours and hours like creating these huge training docs, within 3 months they're outdated, and all that time spent was an opportunity cost that I could be going out and getting clients. And it might be different for an Amazon business, but even that, as a new business owner, you're going to be learning, you're going to be involving and changing your processes. So for me, I like to get smart people in. I like to have basic procedures. I like to figure it out with them and have them provide feedback and their knowledge. And then once I'm like, all right, this system is in place, it might not be set in stone, but it's pretty close, then I'm creating SOPs and then I'm hiring other people to go underneath them and doing the McDonald's approach. But I mean, even with FreeUp, there's lots of things we're always changing and improving. And we have a lot of systems that have been the same for the past year, and we have SOPs for them. So knowing when to spend the time to create those SOPs and when to just continue working on the process and get other people to help you is incredibly important.
Okay, so that begs the obvious question, which is how do you know when to kind of get more rigid with your SOPs, and how do you know when to sort of be more flexible?
Yeah, so a lot of it is how many problems and issues they cause, and the other side of it is results. And results is kind of a hard thing to measure because you can always have more results, right? If you sell 100 products, you can always sell 200. So kind of seeing is the results consistently going up? Is it kind of standardizing, or is it going down, or kind of inconsistent? If it's inconsistent or staying level, you might want to continue to improve. If you see that it's continually working, then you're like, okay, I found something here. Let's try to standardize it. On the issues and problem side, and I can kind of talk about FreeUp, and like we're creating a billing system, right? We created a billing system from scratch. We're using different payment methods like Stripe. We have our own software. We have workers that are processing billing and paying other workers and stuff like that. If you're running into issues and things are coming up, or that client experience isn't great, then you continue to evolve. You continue to build. And then once you get something, you're like, all right, you know what? I've gone a month. We've had no issues. Everything's running really smooth. The workers are working really well. They know what they're doing. The clients seem to be having a good experience. Let's get this in writing. Let's make this standardized. And if someone has any other ideas, we can add it, but at least we have the fundamentals of a good standard operating procedure.
Fantastic. Hi, this is Michael Veazey from Amazing FBA. I've got a quick one for you. If you're super stoked and awesomely excited to sell on Amazon, that's great. But if you're American, I'm afraid you need to stop listening, because this one is for the Brits only. I'm not being biased, but this is because I'm talking about something which is based in London. So you're going to need to be in Britain or near Britain to take advantage of it. The basic problem we have as internet entrepreneurs is we are lonely and isolated, because we're tapping, sadly, at our tablets on our own. We're cooped up with our computers and we're going insane with the internet. We need to connect to other people. It's only a human thing, right? And relationships are the basis of all good business. So if you are in that situation, keep listening, because we have a solution called the Amazing FBA London Mastermind. But I'm going to specifically talk to you if you're in that situation, but you are yet to launch on Amazon. So you want to launch on Amazon, you haven't got there yet. This is exactly for you. It's called the Zero to Hero Pre-Launch Mastermind. And our aim is very simple: to get you from research or importing, or even if you've got products on the way to Amazon, to launch with your first product live on Amazon. That's our goal. That's our focus. How do we achieve that? Very simple. We have a face-to-face meeting of up to 15 people, no more than that. So it's very, very focused. And you get 30 minutes minimum to talk about your business and focus on the single issue that's blocking you that month to move you forward. The other way we keep you accountable is that we have a video accountability call once a month as well, which it goes in between the physical meetups, so that we keep that momentum going, because momentum's everything, guys. As you know, on your own, you just lose the dream and you fall into slowness, and then the business just dies from neglect. So we do the opposite. We keep it moving. We keep each other motivated. We inspire, and we tell the truth about what doesn't work so other people can learn from it. We also have a couple of other things. I give an exclusive newsletter available only to members of the Mastermind, where I share the latest tips, techniques, and tricks, and bigger strategies that I'm trying on my Amazon businesses, and tell you what works and frankly what doesn't work as well, so you can learn from my mistakes. And of course, there's an exclusive Facebook group to share all this good stuff with each other in between the meetings and the accountability calls. So there's a ton on offer here. It's obviously going to be very limited because it's maximum 15 people anyway, but for the first 5 people who come on board, there will be a special deal and a very special price for life. But that's obviously only for the first 5 people who come on board. So if you want to check it out, just go to amazingfba.com/London Mastermind, and you can find out there more about it. You can apply there as well if you want to. And if you move fast, you might even be one of the lucky first 5 people to take advantage of it as well. So that's amazingfba.com/London Mastermind. I'm going to put this video out to everyone on my podcast and everyone in the Facebook group, of which we've got nearly 900 members now, and on the YouTube channel. So I imagine that this will fill quite quickly. So if you're serious about it, get yourself over to amazingfba.com/London Mastermind, and you can find. Thanks for listening.